Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey everybody, it's Angela, and today I'm here with John and Jim, and we're going to talk about your client's number one legal problem today. Before I do that, I just want to say how much we enjoyed meeting so many of you at the National Association of Counsel for Children's conference. It was great talking to a number of you about how you're enjoying the podcast and the topics that you're interested in, and we look forward to bringing that to you as we move forward. Also wanted to let you know that we have updated our website. So if you haven't been lately, check it out. The address is childrenwithanslaw.org. And you may not know that you can subscribe to our website. And if you do that, what it does is it gives you an email each time that we put out a podcast. And in those emails, we like to provide additional resources when we can. So take a minute and go to our website at childrenslaw.org and subscribe, and then you'll know when our next podcast comes out. So today we're going to talk about really what is the cornerstone of our practice philosophy, and that is the idea that your client has really one primary legal problem, and that is that they are in the custody of the state when they need to be in the custody of a family. And everything that we talk about in this podcast really relates back to that one primary point, but it's been some time since we went through it, and so we wanted to just bring this concept to you in a little more detail and explain the why of it and how it really can work for you in your daily practice.
So it's worth revisiting this because when you're appointed to represent a child in a dependency case, of course, you're representing a client who is probably involved now in the most important legal case of their entire life. And I think we need to keep that in our focus here, is that you have this client, they have this significant legal problem. It's very complex, as we know, and they are children. So you have to remember that what they're facing here is the loss of potentially their parents, potentially their siblings, potentially their grandparents, their neighborhood, their school, their home, their stuff, their religion, their culture. You can just keep expanding on it. This is a vital inflection point in every one of our clients' lives. And remembering that brings it into focus. That's why this is one of our cornerstones, is it's a lens you can look at and say, I know what I have to do now. It brings a certain clarity to your practice when you can look at a client and say, their legal problem is that they're in the custody of the state and they're a child, and a child needs to be in the custody of a family.
But what about the move to really address every single issue that a child faces, like the holistic representation? How do you balance that with this approach?
If you're going to look at the holistic representation of a child, it's important, and we're not trying to say it's not, but you have to remember that you have limited time on your hands and sometimes a seemingly unlimited number of clients coming at you, and an unlimited number of issues that could come at you. So if the child needs tubes in his ears, that's going to land on your desk. That's your problem. If the child is lagging behind in speech therapy, that's going to land on your desk. That's your problem. If there's grandparents from out of state who want to visit, that's going to be your problem again. So with all these issues coming at you, holistic representation is important, but it's more important not suffer from mission drift. If you're given the choice to spend 3 hours in a school meeting or 2 hours drafting a dispositive pleading to move that case forward, then to us, when you're focusing on the primary legal need of your client, the choice is clear. Move that case forward.
I was at a case this summer, actually, that I had a situation. I had four kids, all under the age of, well, younger, the oldest was 13, all in foster care, three different placements. It was a domestic violence case, but we were in court, moving on, getting the case plan approved, et cetera, et cetera. And I knew that the parents had separated. I needed to, of course, verify, trust but verify, and make sure that was true. But I knew mom was working. I knew she was working on finding housing for herself and her kids. But every hearing, all we talked about was visitation, because both parents worked, which is a great thing. But you know, when you have both parents working, what's the problem? Visitation, because the case managers usually work 9 to 5, so they can't arrange to supervise visits after hours, et cetera, et cetera. So these hearings are going on and on. We're talking about, can grandma supervise the visits? And we're spending like 45 minutes trying to unravel visitation. And after hearing, I would always try to bring it back to housing. But because my clients, all they wanted to do was go home, right? Yeah, they want to see their mom and dad. But the real issue we should have been talking about is getting mom independent housing, because she was willing to do that. She's willing to separate. She's willing to establish housing, and she can do it. She's got a job, right? So I've got all these other ingredients, right? I can get these kids home. And so I literally saw this cornerstone of our practice philosophy, like I saw it coming out in my practice in court. And as I was the one in the hearing that was constantly saying, can we talk about housing? When we set this for a status on visitation next week, Judge, could we also make it a status on mom's housing? I'd like to know how she's doing. I'd like to know if we can help, you know, what resources are we giving her? And I got those kids home in like 4 months, but it was really, we had to really ride the housing issue. Everyone, I think, is having trouble with housing these days. We're really in a bad situation in our area of the country. So anyway, that's just an example of how it does manifest in your practice, and it has real impact. I mean, it can have real impact. Had I just worried about spending all my time wrinkling out the visitation, I'm not sure I would have helped that mom find housing like we did.
Well, yeah, it's an example of why the practice philosophy is important, in that it helps you share your client's sense of urgency. We all know foster care is not always a great place to be. Sometimes it's awful, but even when it's good, it sometimes is still creating this sense of being in limbo for our clients. And that creates a great sense of urgency to get back to that permanent family where all these holistic issues can be best addressed. You know, it's great that there are case managers and CASAs and foster parents and us attorneys out there essentially raising these children. But we really believe, as part of our philosophy, that these problems are best addressed by a family and by permanent parents. So this practice philosophy does help you share your client's sense of urgency. And if you look at a lot of the statutes nationwide, one of the levers that children's attorneys have are the child's right to the time frames in the statute being complied with. And that's a place where children's attorneys can make an impact.
Yeah. And as you're both talking, one of the things that comes to mind for me is it's a tool to make the shift from a reactive practice to a proactive practice. Because if you just take what comes at you and address that, then you will be addressing all of the side issues, but maybe not moving on the most important issue. And that's why I think it's such an important thing to keep top of mind every single day, because there will always be more than any attorney can do, regardless of caseload. It's kind of like the urgent important stuff and all the productivity things that you learn about. You know, it's so easy to just take what comes, but if you sit down, open your file, and ask yourself, what is the very next thing that I can do to move this case forward, get my client closer to going home? What is that? And do that. That's how you implement it.
And just this week, just to go back to something Jim said, one of my attorneys said to me about a client of hers. We were talking about a case, and she reminded me that this client had gone home. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, we've staffed that case, you know, like it feels like a dozen times. And that kid's home. So they said, yeah, he's off all his meds. And there it was again. And I was stunned. I mean, my jaw hit the floor. I said, he's off all his meds? Are you kidding me? Because that's like 40% of what we talked about when he was in care was, how is he? Let's try the Risperdal. No, okay, let's go to Abilify. How about Seroquel? I mean, you know, they're just constantly medicating this poor child. And now he's not on anything because he's in a family. And that's where kids are supposed to be to function properly, right? I mean, Jim talked about, you know, foster care not being a nice place. And we don't mean to disparage, you know, any of the great people out there who are foster parents or running group homes and things like that, because, you know, that's, we need them, right, to get these kids through this. But I think even they, as a group, would agree. But if we can shorten it by keeping this in the forefront of our minds. And I think that's the challenge, right? With changing your practice philosophy is really, it's a mental thing. It requires you to focus and stay focused internally. This is not like one of our episodes where we can say, hey, you know, try filing this motion or, you know, try measuring these outcomes. This is really talking about changing your own mindset as you go to work every day.
Yeah, when you're focused on the fact that your client has that singular legal problem of needing a family, you'll find it applies to almost every single case you get, every child, every client, whether age 2 or age 12, is going to have primarily that same legal problem. And you'll be able to use a consistent approach and implement it with fidelity in a way that can serve you and your clients in every case. I think we look at our roles as children's attorneys, and we have so many voices in our ears telling us how to do our jobs and, you know, what our approach should be on a case. And as attorneys coming out of law school, we're all trained even to think in terms of plaintiff and respondent. And so there's this great danger of sitting there in a dependency or child welfare case, and like you're sitting at a tennis match, like we've said before, just watching back and forth, the department and the parents go back and forth with pleadings. There is nothing pushing us to file anything, to respond to anything. We have almost no time frames on us, no requirements on us. And so having a practice philosophy like this really focuses you on your mission, and implementing it with fidelity protects you from mission drift, as John was describing in the domestic violence case. That was a perfect example of the court and almost the whole system getting mission drift because visitation was such a crisis that they couldn't see the solution was housing.
I think where it gets a little harder to implement is that sometimes there is a side issue that has to be resolved in order for the placement to stick, you know, in order for the home, for the child to be able to stay at home, you know. And so that's where it gets, experience kind of teaches you am I getting pulled off in a direction that is not getting my client home faster, or is this something that has to be resolved to know that it will truly be permanent?
Right. That's where we sometimes use the word triage, right? I mean, sometimes we have to, you see something going on and you're like, I have to triage that this is a crisis. I have to stop the bleeding here and get this kid stable, because of course they have to be stable enough to be successful. And as we were talking about foster care being difficult for some children, sometimes it can be very destabilizing. I mean, many of the kids that age out will say, you know, the worst thing that happened to me was being separated from my parents, right? Some kids look back on the worst thing that happened to them. The most traumatic thing was being taken away from their mother or their father. So I think there is an art to it of knowing, you know, when to triage and get a kid stable and when to pull away. And I know some practitioners struggle, especially when you have a caseload that is, you know, all mingled with a lot of the older kids with some severe trauma and the younger kids who are moving through foster care. You want to get those kids through foster care so they don't end up as the older kids with the really severe trauma who have spent too long in care or bounce back and forth and back and forth.
Okay, so what do we want to leave you with here today? I think the main takeaway is that when you are involved in a case and you are feeling kind of lost in the woods, try and pull back, see the forest for the trees, and remember your client's primary legal problem. Try to implement this practice philosophy that they're in the custody of the state. They need to be in the custody of a family. What are the barriers in front of you right now that you need to knock down or hurdle over or run around, whatever the case may be? Look at it, look at the cases and the problems through that lens. And that's kind of the main thing we'd like you to take away from today. Put it into practice in your practice and see how it impacts you.
So just to wrap up, this cornerstone of our practice philosophy really can make a difference. We've seen it work in some of our consulting where we've trained lawyers and they have been able to get kids home faster. And you can do it too. If you find this helpful, there's lots more where this comes from, and we'd love for you to join us. The best way to do that right now is to subscribe on our website. You can go to childrenwithanslaw.org and you can subscribe and you'll know every time a podcast comes out, and we'll provide other resources that can be of use in your practice. So we thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.